Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I'm bidding a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, traders and investors. Welcome to this Friday, May 26th edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. It's the Friday before Memorial Day, one of the slowest days of the year, but we're here nonetheless. Spencer Israel here with Joel Elkanen. Dennis is off today. He's taking the night. He can't celebrate the holiday on Monday. They don't have Memorial Day, so he thought he would take today off and celebrate his holiday today. So just Joel and myself on the docket at 8:15 is Tracy Schuchart. She is a commodities trader. We got stocks making 52-week highs, stocks making 52-week lows. We're going to talk about the trading action yesterday from GM, Williams-Sonoma, HPQ, Best Buy, Sears, and a few earnings to discuss, and we're going to take your questions in the chat as always. Joel, how are we doing in the S&Ps right now?
Deeply in the red here. The S&P futures are down 5 whole points here, 2408.50. Could it clear the yesterday's high, which was the all-time high, 2417.75, now 10 points away from that. I'd be keeping an eye on the close, 1350, if we could get back up there. On the downside, we have not taken out Thursday's interday low yet of 2406, but I don't know. We might have a hard time getting in at 20 below 2400. We have the old resistance at 2404, which is new support, and then we have the low from yesterday at 2402.50. Crude, what a wild day in crude yesterday. If you were trading that, big breaks, more talk out of OPEC. But we did find a little support here this morning. Got a rally. This 48.21 low, I was looking at a couple lows in the lower 48 handle. 48.37, 48.38. Those were the lows from May 17th and 18th. Current low, 48.21. Beyond that, we might get into the 47 handle. Looking at gold and silver, gold up $9, $12.65.30. Silver up 7 cents at $17.26. Spencer, it's just me and you today here on this Memorial Day weekend. Any big plans for the 3-day weekend?
Yeah, I'm finally buying a car this weekend. I haven't been in town for the past 2 weekends, so I'm finally gonna buy a car. There's Memorial Day sales, right, Joel? There's lots of sales. It's the end of the month. They got to meet their quota.
Are dealers gonna be open on Saturday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's my big plan is to buy a car, and then don't worry, I didn't forget about you. I will be coming over, and I'm gonna help you set up our streaming software on your home computer, so
yes.
you can do that. I didn't forget. I'll get there eventually.
Okay.
All
right, and I'm gonna actually try and do some yard work, which I'm not very good at, and celebrate my 28th wedding anniversary.
Honestly. Congratulations!
Wow.
Congratulations!
So the 28 puts are about to expire worthless.
Yes, that they are.
All right, what's on the docket?
Well, let's talk about some of the trading action and some of the stocks that reported earnings yesterday before the bell. Now, if Dennis were here, let's pull Williams-Sonoma, WSM. So if Dennis were here, what would he say about this guy?
That opening print, man. You needed to be in on that opening print. We got way overdone to pre-market. That initial spike took it to $55. But if you were so inclined to short that opening print, you took absolutely no heat at all. Opened up at 53.80. The high was 53.80. And I think we might have mentioned that high that you had at 50, right? At 53.93. So 54 put the lid on it, and then it was straight down. So there's using that opening print, using the whole number, could have yielded some profits. Got all the way down into the 48 handle.
Do you shop at Williams-Sonoma, or do you own Williams-Sonoma?
About one thing there, and it's funny that you mentioned it on this day, because I try and get Lisa gifts. There's like a certain thing associated with each anniversary.
Right.
And it was like glass or glassware or something. And I walked around the mall for 2 hours. I couldn't find anything. And finally, I went in Williams-Sonoma, and there was some kind of, I don't know, plates or bowls or something that I bought that was glass that we still have. So I've shopped there one time.
My favorite thing is every year, a site that I occasionally purview, Deadspin, they do an annual Hater's Guide to the Williams-Sonoma Catalog, usually in December when it comes out. And I like that's my Williams-Sonoma exposure for the year. So back to the stock, though. So opening print, stock takes a hit. So what is that? What can you learn from that now for today? It'll be a light day,
it's just something we talk about all the time, and it's like the open. There's a lot of opportunity to make money and a lot of opportunity to lose money. He trades a lot of different stocks off the open, off fair value, but it's just using you can look at the pre-market action, then you can look at your daily chart here, and you had a nice high, as I mentioned, at 53.93. So it's, there's good risk, and there's good reward, but there's a lot of risk off the open. This one had the big movement, but just emphasizing that opening print, a lot of stock. I mean, anybody that got long off that opening print, they never saw the light of day. So just keeping an eye on those for that early action.
What about HPQ? It's the same thing. So Williams-Sonoma, they beat on their report, right? And the stock takes a beating at opening print. HPQ, they beat as well.
Yeah, now this one got up to 20.75. I know Dennis was trying to short it at 20.90 and 20.95. He didn't quite get it. But here again, you open up. This was a new all-time high for the issue. It opened up at 1957. 1958 was the high. So if you could have taken a penny worth of heat, that sold off all the way down to 1826, closed at 1837. So looks like you might find some support here in the lower 18 handle. But once again, using your pre-market levels, you never would have even seen anything near. You didn't even see 20, as we theorized might be some paper there as an all-time high. So, but not all of them could you have shorted the opening print. There's one you should have really stayed away from. Holy mackerel.
Best Buy. What is going on in Best Buy?
Best Buy is a great buy. And this one, you could have got a little – if you did short that initial open and you just threw out bids because you were just scared, it did have a sell-off. Opened 57.45, went to 56.30. But wheeled and turning around, and it went back through that opening print of 57.45. You could have not even looked, and it was at 58, 59, and then went all the way to 61.95. Settled at 61.25 on huge volume. Let's see. We're traded down 30 cents in the pre-market. Not a lot of action. Let's see if anything develops at the 62 level. There's a whole number. Maybe you start to get some orders building there. But what a day for up 20%.
So is this all? This is all it takes now is one good quarter. That's all. That's all.
They've been doing okay. Haven't they been doing okay? Let me go to my trusty Benzinga Pro here and check out the earnings. Haven't they been?
Okay, I stand corrected. They've been doing okay. I just in my head they haven't, but turns out yes they
have. Matching Amazon,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
And okay.
Fair enough. What about Shield?
Oh,
Sears. I don't think we discussed Sears on the show yesterday.
No, we didn't.
We didn't. But they did beat on their earnings, and they beat on the top and they beat on the bottom, and they said the comps were down about 12% in Q1. So mixed numbers there. Good numbers in the earnings, but not great comps report, obviously. But look at that guy.
Yeah, one of the most untradeable stocks here. That opened up at 880 and ripped to 990. I was thinking maybe $10, but it would have been worth a try on the short side. We had a high at 1013. Didn't get there. Hit 990 and then turned around on a dime. Still ended up a buck on the day, but Sears is Sears here, so not great action. That one you could have bought the open, selling when it came back down through the open. Would have been would have yielded some profit, but Wild Day and Sears couldn't reach double digits.
DC in the chat brought up, I'm not sure if she's saying good morning or GM, but I'm going to assume she meant GM, because GM was a wild child yesterday. Their report there that they were accused of Volkswagen-like emissions devices in some on some trucks. We actually had a company spokesperson reach out to us and say that these claims are baseless and they're going to vigorously defend themselves. This is regarding the Duramax diesel Chevy Silverado and GMC Sierra, and that the accusation here is that they had devices in those trucks that got around emissions regulations. But they're saying it's baseless. And Joel, what are you saying about the stock?
I had a big dip off that and went all the way down. If you were keeping an eye on the former low of the move at 3208, near a whole number as well, you would have got good morning to you, DC1. She was saying good morning, but we did have GM on the list. 32 ended up holding as a decent number as you went down to 31.92. So we'll see if that $32 area is protected. But I tell you what I like more on this one. I mean, you could see 32. Actually, I could give you two good levels if you are so inclined to trade GM. You have that 32 levels, good support on the downside, and then a triple top on the upside, 33.40, 33.41, and 33.47. So good levels in GM, both on the upside and the downside.
Let's get to, 4 minutes till we get to Tracy. So maybe you want to do a quick oil, chat about oil yesterday.
We'll save that for Tracy.
All right. Okay. We'll save the oil talk for Tracy. Let's go into some earnings that we had. Yesterday after the bell, we had Costco reporting Q3 GAAP EPS of $1.59 versus $1.24 in the same quarter last year. Sales of $28.22 billion versus $28.54 billion. So a little bit light on the sales. Nice beat on the GAAP EPS, though. Comps up 5%. And that's about it.
I dropped 400 bones there the last weekend and got a lot of good food. I like Costco. Making a new all-time high here. Former all-time high was made just after that run-up after the special dividend, 176.18. You have traded 179.07 in the pre-market, so you're still up a couple bucks. You're actually up $3, but you know what? I was thinking of maybe buying some of the out of money, the calls going into this one, and let's see if just what the premiums were, how the option guys were trading this. You'd be looking here. We'll pull up the weeklies. We'll bring up the the calls. 17, man, these guys are good, Spencer. The 177.5 call was going for, went out at $1.42. So you would need 179 to break even on the trade. So, man, tough one in that. You would have had to go more into money. Even if you went into money and you bought the 175s, you would need over 177.50. So the option guys had it pegged pretty good in Costco once again.
So you dropped 400 greenbacks there last weekend. But how often do you go to Costco, though?
We actually go once every 3 weeks.
So you're there pretty frequently.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, good food. And we bought some big ticket items. I can't remember what. I bought an umbrella. My umbrella broke.
That's your big ticket?
No. Not a regular umbrella for my patio.
Oh, okay.
I broke my patio
umbrella.
So that was $100 of it.
All right,
that was my big ticket.
Fair enough. All right, 8:14 now. We're going to take our first break of the day. We're going to grab Tracy Shukart. She's a commodities trader. We had her on the show a few months ago. She really knows her stuff with regards to oil. She was at a hedge fund in Norway. She worked on Chicago Board of Trading. So she knows her stuff with regards to oil and the whole commodity space. We'll be right back with Tracy.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Alcon, and along with Spencer Israel this morning, and we have another commodities trader on the line today. We have Tracy Shukart, who's an active futures trader, in particular crude oil futures. Tracy, how you doing this morning?
Good, Joel. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah. Well, whenever I see these wild fluctuations in the crude oil market, I'm like, I got to get Tracy on the show, and we certainly had some great trading action here in the crude oil futures. Now, last time we were on, we were it seems like it's just a replay all the time with crude oil. You know, you get a big decline, and then, you know, OPEC comes out or Russia comes out, Saudi Arabia, oh, we're cutting production. Then you get this rip-roaring rally, and then you kind of get the oil figures, and you find out that everyone's cheating, and then someone says they're not going to cooperate, and we go right back down again, and really a big trading range here. Is this just a rinse and spin cycle once again here, where it's going to get depressed a little bit, and then it's going to consolidate, and then they're going to come out with positive news and just take us right back up to $50?
Well, I mean, so far what we're doing, I mean, we're still in kind of a downtrend. I mean, we went to 55, down, came up to 53, down. You know, I think we'll kind of keep doing that sort of move up and down. You know, I think even though they say this big sell-off doesn't really matter, the knee-jerk reaction, the market was obviously very disappointed with only an extension of the current cut. And all the analysts came out and basically said that, you know, we don't really expect compliance to last that long. So we'll probably see, you know, a sell-off, you know, and I think when, you know, it starts to get, you know, in those 40s, those lower 40s, then we're going to probably hear OPEC say, okay, we need to have an emergency meeting or something like that, and, you know, kick up prices. But I still think that we're, you know, headed towards the downtrend. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, you know, 40, even $30 this year.
Really?
Seasonality suggests pretty much, you know, if you look at the seasonal chart, it's, you know, summer's pretty much sideways. And then all throughout fall, December's usually the lowest month of the year. So, you know, I think that it's entirely possible that, you know, we do see those lower 40s, upper 30s by the end of the year.
Now, I saw a statistic that when you look at the total amount of oil production from the different countries, I mean, does OPEC really yield that big of a stick? I mean, with all the production in the United States and the shale production, I mean, are they that, when they collude, are they really that predominant of a player? Or, you know, is it just the rumors and the headlines? Or is really the United States and the U.S. dollar going to be the moving force in crude oil?
Well, I think, I mean, the thing is, since OPEC is a group of nations, that altogether their production is about 34%. So, you know, if you were to have a group of nations, you know, if you had, you know, the U.S., Canada, and a couple others, then, you know, those nations make up 34%. It's just that, you know, we're talking 13 nations against, you know, one country. So, you know, the thing that traders are watching is really where OPEC is cutting and the U.S. is ramping. So we're making up for, you know, what they say that they're cutting. And so that's really what, you know, kind of traders are looking for. If we're, you know, if they're cutting 1.8 million, how much are, you know, how much are we making up for that shortcoming? And, you know, most forecasts are, you know, we'll be at 1.2 million to make up for that difference by next year. So production is very important right now.
I don't mean to get too technical. That's okay. That's what we like. That's why we have you here on the show. Also, I've seen, you know, different assessments of, you know, where they kind of want it, like where they can, like, they can kind of squeeze the shale producers and, you know, as far as the, you know, like they also don't want it to get too high in some instances because they know that's going to increase production. I mean, they're obviously bringing it out of the ground at lower prices here. That's why they can, you know, they're still sustaining it. Do you have any, you know, like, if you had like a theory, because we really have been in a range here for quite some time, do you think that, you know, sometimes they keep the lid on it on the upside too, as well as supporting it on the downside?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you know, some of the smaller nations would like higher oil prices. Certainly Saudi Arabia, you know, would like higher oil prices going into their IPO because it just makes it all that much more attractive to investors. However, they do have to run that fine line between, you know, what is going to, you know, increase shale production and, you know, even Canadian oil sands and hurt our production cuts, or they're just going to have to stop production cuts whatsoever. So there is that fine line. So, I mean, that fine line is, you know, I mean, 50 is pretty much comfortable for everybody. So, you know, I don't really see it getting over 55 anytime this year. Because it would be detrimental, really, to them. But, you know, I think they would like to keep it, you know, if they could keep it in that $50 range, then, you know, that would be good. But they still run, you know, at $50, the U.S. shale industry, you know, can still has room for growth, even though it's a little bit more expensive to get out of the ground, say, than, you know, than the Arab nations.
How do you trade it? I mean, this is, it's a tricky monster. I mean, if you just look at the daily from yesterday, and I know you follow it around the clock. We discussed that before. I mean, you had the 6 o'clock open last night, or I'm talking, let's see, today's Friday. The 6 o'clock open on Wednesday, and you had that nice rally and got all the way up. You took out the double top. How do you trade it? I mean, do you go home? I know you like to use spreads a little bit. Are you putting orders out there with stops? You know, how do you conquer? I mean, because, you know, how do you conquer this beast?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, I'm pretty much looking for, you know, certain levels and certain things. You know, I use technical tools just like you would use to trade anything, right? But I knew, you know, and a lot of the fundamentals that, you know, can fit into it too. I mean, with oil markets, as in, you know, I knew that everybody, you know, I knew this OPEC meeting was coming up, so I knew they were going to just keep squeezing it higher in hopes that, you know, they would get a better deal than they actually came up with. And I knew kind of that the market, that wasn't going to happen. The market was going to be disappointed. So I could factor in sort of, you know, that fundamental kind of play to go into, you know, my technical levels. I mean, oil, even though it doesn't look like it on a chart, it is a very, you know, technically traded product.
Do you just lay those orders out there? Do you put the orders out there with stops?
I mean, I had orders out there. Like I was sleeping when the top hit, but I had an order out there already with a stop. So, and then, you know, in addition to that, you know, I also sell options, which gives you a little, and buy options, which gives you a little bit more, you know, which gives you a little bit more leeway. Like I knew, you know, I sold puts the day before the OPEC meeting, or I bought puts the day before the OPEC meeting came out because I knew the market was going to be disappointed. So it didn't, you know, I don't have to have an exact entry as long as it's, you know,
general,
up to the top. So, you know, you can use options in addition to just trading outright to kind of give you a little bit more flexibility.
How's the slippage? Like if you do get executed in something, I mean, I've looked at that market trade. It seems to be pretty liquid at night. I mean, if you want to, maybe if you're trading a 50 or 100 lot, you might get lit up a little bit. But if you do get taken out, you know, if you get a position, you get taken out a stop or you're using a stop to enter a position, how's the slippage in the overnight market?
I've never had an issue getting those.
Really?
Never not include.
Okay.
So, you know, if I say if you top hit something, then, you know, you do run the risk that you're not going to get filled all the way. But, you know, I mean, but it's a liquid enough market that, you know, even trading, you know, a 50 lot, you should have no problem getting filled.
Okay. All right. We got about a minute or two left here. Can we talk oil stocks at all? I mean, kind of bit quiet here. I've been looking at this ExxonMobil and just been in the training range. Really hasn't been, you know, participating in the market at all. I'm looking at this 80 to 83 has basically been the range since March here. I don't know. I know you've mentioned some other. I know you don't like so much these big integrated oils. Is there any oil companies?
Right. I mean, Lilith right now is, I think it's LLES, is a big
nice
up-and-comer in the Permian Basin right now. But, yeah, I mean, I prefer smaller companies, less debt, you know, less you know, people that aren't selling off their assets to pay their debts, which a lot of these bigger, these big oil companies are doing. Shell just sold off a bunch of Canadian assets. I mean, you know, we kind of want, I'd rather have smaller companies that specialize in certain areas, say, you know, within like the shell and within the shale industry. Uh-huh. Right now, I know they're having a sand shortage, so I would look at sand companies.
That looks like a good-looking
like
chart here.
XLTA.
What, XLTA? Is that what you said?
Like LLEX for the Lewis, and then SCLA for sand companies. There's several frack sand companies.
Okay, one more stock I want to ask you about. One more. You ever heard of Geospace Technologies, GEOS?
No, I haven't.
Okay. All right. No, because one of our guests on the show has been bullish for that a while and really hasn't taken off. All right. Well, we've been on the line with Tracy Shuchart. She's an active commodities trader in the oil futures markets, and she's a good follow. If you like a little bit of sarcasm on Twitter, then you should follow her. It's Shy Girl, right? C-H-I-G-R-I. Yep. She's a good follow on Twitter.
CRO. Cool, thanks.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks for having me on again.
All right, bye-bye. All right, 8:30 here. S&Ps are trying to get off the mat. 24.09 and a quarter, down 4 1/4. Oil, while we were speaking to Tracy, tried to challenge that low. And came up just a little bit shy here. Let's go to the 15-minute chart as opposed to the monthlies here. And I tell you one thing about trading that oil market, you know, overnight, you can open up to some big gains or some big losses. All right, crude down 35 cents at 48.55.
Let's go into another earnings stock. We got GameStop.
Nick's favorite stock.
Oh, GDP just now. Sorry. Brent's talking to me, and I'm hearing him, but I'm not really hearing him. You know what I mean? It's like one of those, day before a long weekend. U.S. GDP is out for the first quarter. Let's see, 1.2% versus 0.9% estimate. The prior was 0.7%. So good reading there for U.S. GDP for the preliminary number for Q1, 1.2%.
And the market is just ripping off this here. We've moved 2 ticks off that number. So,
alrighty.
Muted reaction.
Great stuff.
Trying to get back here. Once again, folks, I'm looking on the upside here. Our all-time closing high was 24.1350. So I'm looking on that as a rally. See if we can hold that. Above that, the all-time high, 24.1775. 200 shares trade on the spider on the number, Jimmy A tells us.
Nice. Let's go to GameStop, one of the earnings stocks from yesterday. They reported Q1 adjusted EPS of 63 cents versus 51 cents. Sales of $2.05 billion versus $1.94 billion estimate. So a good Q1 there for GameStop. They did reaffirm their guidance for the fiscal year. They do see comps as being down 5% to flat. I consulted with Benzinga's resident gaming expert Nick Donato on the Benzinga news desk. He said the strong quarter was helped in part by sales from their Switch console. He doesn't think people liked the comp guidance. And tech brands as a whole were kind of meh for the quarter. So the fact that GameStop reported a good quarter, I think he liked. And what are you seeing in the chart?
Nothing good here. You have GameStop trading in the red by $1.67, just off the pre-market low of 21.60. So not getting a huge lift off that number. I see a 21.80 print here. Nice area to take a look at, though, because you had two lows on April 10th and April 11th. 21, actually, you have like 4 lows in this area between, it's a daily chart, between 21.58, 21.74, finding a little bit of support in that area. We'll see if it can hold. Below that, look out here. We may be falling under $21.
Okay, let's go to Ulta, ULTA. They reported earnings yesterday after the bell. They reported their Q1 adjusted EPS of $1.91 versus $1.80, sales of $1.315 billion versus $1.27, so a beat on the sales and the beat on the EPS. They also raised their fiscal year 17 outlook there, and the Q2 EPS is coming in about in line. The Q2 sales about in line as well, but the raising that fiscal year guidance there is the kicker.
Well, I guess there's good news and bad news here. The good news is it's still trading up $9 here at $302.80. However, if you missed that original spike to $311.88, I don't think you're going to get another shot at that. It did surpass the former all-time high, so I think that might still – I'll use that as a number today. $301.40, it's about a buck where we're trading, so – takes that, you got some movement here on the downside. You had a real bad day in this on Wednesday. Someone getting out ahead of the report, and then the following day buying it right back up to 293. So this one's a mover, $300 psychological level too, but this stock has been a beast. Let's see where we started the year. We started the year in Ulta at $254.94, not too bad, and you just hit $311.88 in pre-market trading. All right, we got some stocks in the chat here. We got a little more earnings, ratings. What do you want to do, Spencer?
Let's just finish up the earnings. So we've ran through a couple. Let's go to Big Lots. BIG reported Q1 EPS $1.15 versus 99 cents this morning. Sales of $1.297 billion versus $1.31 billion. So a slight miss on the sales number, but a beat on the EPS. As far as Q2 goes, EPS is coming higher than the estimate. 58 cents to 63 cents was what they said. 58 cents was the estimate. Comps are going to be up in the low single-digit range, they say. They're also raising their fiscal year EPS outlook by about 10 cents.
All right, initial spike here, 53.10, and here we back are at 52. So big move up 362 at 52 even. I think I'll use that as a number. I'm looking at this high that you had on April 27th here at 51.95. We're trading at 52 right now. Big movement here, so I'm going to use that as the level of the day in Big Lots. You hold 52, continue greener pastures on the upside. Below 52 here, I think you back and fill a little bit. You see that 52 top I'm referring to. So I wonder if all these people that got caught mining here are going to look at that 50 and just say it's too good of a price to give up.
There's a couple more earnings. Nothing that's like super big to me, though. We have Nutanix, we had Veeva, we had Deckers, we have Marvell Technology, Splunk. Anything really stick out to you? They're all like pretty small.
You want to do DC stocks there? VSAT in the chat. DC.
Oh,
one.
I wasn't looking in the chat. Okay, DC. Yeah, what are we looking at in the chat? VSAT. Sure. Let's take a look at VSAT. They reported earnings on Tuesday after the bell. They beat on their EPS and they beat on their sales.
Nice looking chart here. We are trading up though. Was there an upgrade or is that that must be an odd lot trade?
Let me see here.
Let me see the print. Yeah, very small. Nope. 50 shares traded at 72.05. So a little bit of an odd lot up there. So I hope that's not a good print. But you got to like this one. Two highs in a row, just under 67. 66. Well, one at 66.84 and one at 67.05 here. So that's a bona fide breakout. I don't really think that 72.05 trade is real. If it is, you haven't been up at this area for quite some time. You had a 71.76 high in December of 2016. Then the other stock, Mo, and that had earnings quite a while. Nice run up here in Mo. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row. Getting back to fill that earnings gap. I remember when this one got hit on earnings, you did have some follow through. Let's see if we can find a gap fill in here. Those usually work pretty good. Gap down on earnings. The gap to fill is between 74.70 and 75.06. So let's see what happens if you can get up to 75 after getting hit down to $70 area. One, two, like I said, four-day rally. See if it continues. Got to take out yesterday's high first at 74.63, but 75 looks like it could pose as some resistance.
I don't see any big ratings in ratings lane. It's a bunch of analysts just chasing after earnings. NetApp catching another upgrade from UBS. They caught a few upgrades yesterday. They had earnings a few days ago. Marvell, same thing. Veeva, same thing. Red Robin. And then as far as downgrades go, Jinko Solar was the big one that I saw. Morgan Stanley downgrading them. JKS from overweight to underweight. Chevron catching a downgrade too at Exane. Actually, that's a firm I've never heard of before. BNP Paribas. That's it, though.
Jinko Solar, that had a nice day yesterday. Got up to over $22. Haven't seen that since almost a year. And now back on its heels a little bit after that Morgan Stanley downgrade. Let's look at the 15-minute chart here. It's just activity from this morning. Let me take a look at it. After a nice run, I mean, they're downgrading it after strength. So that's good to see. You did get a dip in the pre-market. Your pre-market low stands at 1975. So let's see if we get any follow through from that. And yes, if you do, yesterday's low is down at 1930. Ed Parker wants to know, is VEEV breaking out? Did they have earnings?
Yes, they did. VEEV had earnings, I think it was yesterday. Let me confirm that, though. And the numbers there for VEEV, it was yesterday. Q1 EPS, 22 cents versus 18 cents. Sales, they beat by about 6 million, 157 versus 151. And then the Q2 adjusted EPS coming in pretty much in line. So the fiscal year EPS was higher than expected, but overall pretty good guidance, and they beat on both earnings.
All right, nice move in it yesterday. Coming up, trading up 321 in the pre-market. Is that true? Is there an upgrade in it or something? Oh, the earnings. Wow. This thing did break out here. We have a pre-market high of $66 right on the nose. So you can use that as a potential target. Really up in no man's land here, but keeping an eye for follow-through through 66, maybe using half and whole numbers if it continues north.
I saw someone mention Amazon in the chat. Let's talk about this, Joel. Amazon and Google. So only one stock. Is above $1,000 per share, right? That's Priceline. That's the only one. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. Amazon and Google knocking on the door, Joel.
Yeah, now, I mean, I think that I want to take a little bit of the other side of the coin here. Google's $2,000 to me.
Technically speaking.
Okay, so so really this race to 1,000 thing doesn't really mean anything, but Amazon did hit $9.99 yesterday, backed off down 88 cents. I mean, it's kind of like Dow 20,000. Like if you were saying, oh, Dow can't go any higher than 20,000, well, you were wrong. We're at 21,082.95. So psychological level, $9.99. We'll see what happens today, especially since you backed off to close in the 993 handle. But Amazon's just been a beast, and I still look at Goog as opposed to Google. 972.63, but the Google is what people are interested in. What was the high yesterday in Google? 995.78. So it looks like Amazon, we'll see how they're trading now in the pre-market. Why, Google actually Alphabet here. Let's see what's going on in the pre-market. These stocks have been hot. Trading down a little bit, 991, so they're both pretty close, neck and neck. We'll see if either of them can get to 1,000 today.
Did you read Walter Mossberg's last column yesterday?
No, I did not.
You didn't?
What did Walter?
Do you at least?
I know who he is.
You know who he is. So, yeah, he's retiring. Yesterday was his last ever column. Obviously, the legendary tech insider there. And he just really wrote a reflection on the last 20 years. But one thing he pointed out to me, which hadn't occurred to me, was Amazon has only had one successful hardware product, and that was the Kindle, right? I mean, Amazon Echo just came out last year. It's in its infancy, and we're still not quite sure how to use it yet as a society, and it's a little bit unreliable, at least from people I've spoken to that have it. But I guess the hand of Amazon, you know, think of it as such a beast, and you know, I hadn't realized that they've only really had one successful consumer hardware product. I mean, I get that's not what they do necessarily, but that's where we're going now with Amazon, with AR, with VR. You know, there's going to be more products like that, and Amazon. So that was a fun little nugget that I guess I hadn't occurred to me before. But if you haven't read Walter Mossberg's last column, recommend it. It was a really good read. Definitely one of the most plugged in insiders for the last 20 years in Silicon Valley. Really rose up with the rise of Apple and the whole you know, internet business. So check that out. It's on Recode and The Verge there.
Did they open up a bookstore in New York?
Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They may have killed the bookstore in the process. That is what I was reading. But they did open up a bookstore. So I haven't been there. But we'll see how that goes. All right, 8:50 now. Got about 10 minutes left. Anything that we missed? What's on my list? Let's talk about a couple stocks hitting 52-week highs today. EA. In pre-market action, I think about an hour ago at this point, hit a 52-week high. What? Take a look at that chart for me.
We just hit 114.16. This thing has been a beast here. Not a big gamer, but man, just 113.83 had a big gap after earnings, and 114.16. I guess we can, in retrospect, looking at this chart, on earnings day, you had a low of 104.76, and they gave you a shot to buy that again. You came down to 104.34 on the 18th, and now you're back up again here. Once again, using the target, using that pre-market high. Do we get much pre-market trading? No, it's pretty quiet. It's only up a dime, but keeping an eye on that high from yesterday for continued follow-through, 114.16, that was the high, 113.83 close.
Did somebody mention ALXN in the chat?
I think so.
I thought I saw that because ALXN is just past a 52-week low at 98.50 at the start of the show.
What got that break started here? Man, oh man, oh man, 98.40, this thing was at 135 the beginning of May. This must be one of the worst performers in the pharmaceutical sector here. 98.40, did Left or somebody come on this one with a short thesis, or something got this rolling to the downside? Just hanging here at 98.40, so perhaps a place to start covering the short. Doesn't look like I guess you got two lows in the same area. So if you want to lean on that, 98.40, that was a low from yesterday, ALXN. And let me see if we can get the low from the previous day, 98.63. So starting to find some support. Resistance pretty well defined, too. Yesterday's high, 449. Your two-day high, 105.
Yep, and it was John Dodson in the chat saying Bloomberg did an extensive short thesis on ALXN. If you're on the other side, you can take solace in the fact that Morgan Stanley upgraded it yesterday to overweight. So I don't know who to believe, Joel.
I believe the price.
Okay.
I believe the last. Comments on the VIX and gold here. I mean, the VIX, I mean, if you're in it and you get those spikes, I mean, you got to take it off because in this grinding market, you know, they just seem to, these pops are so short-lived, and it's probably other better hedging vehicles. Let's talk about the gold market and gold and silver. I know silver had that one 17-day sell-off, and I thought we're going to get a chance to buy it at the whole number of 16, but they only gave you one opportunity. Finding resistance now. Got three highs here just above 17 and a quarter. For the gold market, let's look at the gold futures. Oh, that's a nice looking daily here. Your current high is 1268. Now, if you're looking at the, what would this be, the June? No, you're going farther out. It's probably the, yeah, the June contract is still actively trading in gold. You can see the high for today in gold at 1268. And then I see three highs just above that. At the 1270 area, so 1270 280, and then have a couple highs above that. But let's see, I mean, bumping up against resistance here. Once again, that break, you didn't get a chance to buy it at the whole number because the low of the move was 1214 30. Did Splunk have earnings?
Yes, they did. Splunk had earnings yesterday after the bell. They reported Q1 adjusted EPS of a penny loss versus a 4 cent loss estimate. Sales of $242.4 versus $233.9 million. So, a good Q1. Yes, they are raising their outlook for the fiscal year. For the 2018 fiscal year, they're raising the sales guidance there, and the Q2 sales guidance came in higher as well.
Wow, did they say something on a conference call or something? Because you got a spike up to 71 even, and then the bottom fell out of that one. So if you were selling into strength, congratulations. Let me see if I can find any. I mean, everything good. And then they take it up to 71, and then they plow this thing. And we just made a pre-market low at 61.50. And that was the part of a big step up, a big rally from 60 to 69. I'll be keeping an eye on the two lows here. 61.07, that was your April 19th low. And then if you can even get below that, 59.81, that was your April 18th low. But we are a buck and a half off the open. So I think anybody that was short this thing might be looking to bring it in on any decline.
Let's talk about Tesla. Tesla hit a pre-market high at about 720, at least last I checked, 720 this morning, thanks to another classic Elon Musk tweet saying that the Model 3 will have autopilot.
Oh, really?
That's what he said.
Hmm. 1785, your pre-market high. You backed off a $1.85 here. Not much. Yesterday's high, 1697. So we still need to contend with that. And then also, we'll see what happened on a slower day of trading here. You did have a seller lurking at the 320 area. Back on the 15th and 16th, you had highs at 320.06 and 320.20. So if you could take out that pre-market high, be aware of that double top.
All right, if there was anything else on your radar chat, don't forget to get in there, Joel. Anything on your radar this morning? We've got about a few minutes left in the week.
No, I mean, you know, it's a quiet weekly options expiration. You're going to have Memorial, you know, some holiday trading. So, I mean, you already did kind of had your pre-Memorial Day rally. So, you know, I'll be keeping an eye on the closing price. I mentioned the S&Ps, the all-time closing price of 1350. Crude getting another bounce here off that lower $48 handle. Just looking to see what our other potential movers
are. Starbucks just broke a 52-week high. Good old-fashioned rally.
Let's see here. Let's take a look at the daily chart of Starbucks and 63.11, and you closed at 62.91. I believe that's a new all-time high for this one. Yeah. Oh, no, $64. If you're looking for a target here on the monthlies, going back to December, it looks like December of 2015, you had a 64 even all-time high. And Dennis always talks about this one. He's hated it since $5. I mean, who would pay $5 for coffee? But they've certainly done it. 64 even.
A lot of people. I always hate when he says that, because a lot of people, clearly.
They do.
And you know what? Give them credit. They're really, really good at keeping you in their system, right? At customer loyalty. They do a really good job of promoting customer loyalty and rewarding you for coming back. They do.
What about BlackBerry? Do we have news on BlackBerry here? Is this one?
You've been all over this guy.
No, I'm just looking at this. I was looking at this thing, and it had been quiet. It had had the run up, And I just was thinking maybe if it got near $11 today, it might be worth a look. This is kind of classic here. You had the nice run-up, and then, boom, a couple days of consolidation, poised to go higher, kind of wanted to buy it going through that quad top there at 1140. Do we have any news on BlackBerry?
Just that an arbitration panel in the case against Qualcomm issued a final award providing the fact that they'll get paid.
That's kind of old news here.
Yes, this is like the final nail in the coffin for the payment to happen.
Okay, so, all right. So you don't know if it was already factored in.
I mean, yes, it was. I'm assuming it was.
Well, no, he's added 40 cents to the thing. So,
all right.
We'll see what happens. Now I'll be good volume trading here, too. So now I'll be trying to buy it on a pullback to 1140 instead of buying it when it went through it. Thanks, Johnny175. That's one I've been keeping an eye on. All right, Spencer, 8:59. You want to wrap up today's show?
And yeah.
That folks, that not going to be back again till Tuesday.
Yep, no show on Monday, of course, Memorial Day weekend. So hope everyone has a nice long weekend. We'll be back with you folks on Tuesday for the rest of this week's worth of shows. If you missed any part of today's show, you can catch our podcast. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Just search for Pre-Market Prep. Or you can rewatch the show on Benzinga's YouTube channel, which is Benzinga TV. Don't forget to like our page there as well. And please remember that all the information, material, and content from our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice, except when we make it that way, which is... That was a joke. Never mind. No one liked cricket.
And you forgot to tell people when they're listening on to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes, yep. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Benzinga TV. Don't forget about Benzinga Pro as well. It's what we're using during the show to get our news. You can get a free 2-week trial of Benzinga Pro by going to pro.com. If you want a demo, you can email myself, SpencerIsrael@Benzinga.com. I will get you hooked up with a demo of how to use the platform with one of our Benzinga Pro experts. That's it for us on this Friday morning. It's a better day out than it was yesterday, at least. Have a good rest of your day. Good luck out there on this light trading day. We'll see you folks on Tuesday. Have a good long weekend.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.